Romans 8, verses 35 through 37. The title of this is Church Priority. If you guys have not had one of these slips, it's really an acronym for priority. Would you like one? Yes. Would you like one? Okay. Because I only have two. It's colorful. It brings out your eyes. And really what we're talking about here, that just for those who are visiting with us, the first 8 years of this ministry has been dealt with the individual sin issues, rectifying those sin issues, getting clean before the Lord, taking your responsibility and your relationship to Jesus to a different level. And there are priorities in that. What we're doing now is, as what God has instructed, is now bringing the church to a place of understanding how to function as a church, what are the priorities of the church, what do we do to function as the church. And so this is the basis of what this acronym is. P stands for what? Pursuing God. Well, what does that mean? This is for the church. I mean, it should be synonymous with the individual. What does that pursuing God mean? That is correct. Seeking Him first. He's our priority. Individually, we want to know Him more. We want to know what He's about. We want to know the plans that He has for us, because His plans supersede ours. In the church, it's no different. His plan for the church and what the church is meant to do in the local area is first to be a expression of Jesus Christ to our community at large. And, you know, if we are really honest, a lot of our churches do not function as a local expression. Most churches function, have ministries to their people in the church with minimal accountability and minimal impact on the community at large. And what God is raising up, Streams is part of that, is raising up these churches that have an outward thought, that have an outward vision. It's not only taking care of what's going on inside the church, but also impacting lives outside the church. That is one of the mandates for it. Then we went from P, which is pursuit of God, to R. It stands for what? Rebuilding altars. And what does that mean? Rebuilding our altars is really consecrating and committing our lives to Jesus Christ individually, but as the church, taking it to the next level, is being involved in what the church is doing. Not programs, but relationally. Okay? Programs are meant to draw people to the church. They also cost the church a tremendous amount of money. Relationships cost us time and effort. And that's what God wants. He wants to take the monies that the church is bringing in to conduct this warfare of light against darkness and really impact people's lives in a positive way so that they know that God is on the throne, God cares about them, for the gospel to go forward. Not this mamby-pamby gospel that's being preached out there, or what I like to call the greasy grace gospel, but the true gospel, the living gospel of Jesus Christ, and really what the Father has done through that. And if anyone wants to know about what that truth is, there's a plethora of people that can express that to you. Rebuilding the altars. Dedicated and commitment to fulfilling the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we dealt with I, which is what? Investing our lives. That is the totality of an individual investing his substance and his very being into lives. Because that's what God did with us. He invested the totality of his kingdom. He gave us his son. He has given us his life. For he is eternal life. We don't do things for it. We already have received eternal life because of him. The modern Christian in America is only beginning to understand a hostility against the Church of Jesus Christ. And that hostility is coming from the simple reason that churches that are not on the cutting edge, and I hate to use that terminology, but on the cutting edge of getting back to first church principles, what the first church did, radically talking about God, radically implementing the principles of the kingdom into their lives, living in the world but not as the world, and being continuously alert to the negative influences that go on that try to convert us or pollute our spirits in a way that we become like the world. And this is so subtle that when these things happen, when a true believer begins to express the love and the light of Jesus Christ, we become offended because we really realize we have compromised our position in Jesus Christ. We have drifted away. And so, we understand that there is a hostility towards the church. We understand that they don't hate us. They hate Christ in us because they hated Christ. And this is the warfare that we have. And this will lead us to O, which O is overcoming consistently. Overcoming consistently. Romans 8, 35 through 37 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Do you understand what that scripture is talking about? It is not to go to church, or assemble as the church, sing three songs, kumbaya, give a few dollars, and live your life as if God was not involved or God could care less. That is called pagan Christianity. It's idol worship. It's living your life as though God doesn't exist except on Sunday. And all of a sudden we rub the genie bottle and poof, there He is. He's in the midst of us. And then when we're all done and we leave, we go home, we don't have a personal responsibility to God or to what has been taught to us. We live our lives as though He doesn't exist. And what happens in those contexts is we may talk about Jesus, we may brag about Jesus and all, but we're living a lie, and what we do is we become overcome by the circumstances that we are designed to overcome. We become the victims. And that's what's happened in the church in America especially. It has become a victim because society is nothing more than the victimization of individuals. Woe is me. God isn't going to help me, so I'll ask the government to help me. The church isn't there to help me, so, you know, I'll just look for handouts. And that's the mindset of many in the church today. Where you have the other extreme of, God is so great, and look how much money He's bringing in, and all this other stuff, all this, I have all this health going on, I have all this, this wonderful things going on, but inside, you're empty as a tomb. But yet everything is glitter and gluts and all. And there's this dichotomy of a structure that is hindering the Church of Jesus Christ. You see, the truth of the gospel, the truth of what we're about is sacrifice. It's applying principles that will eventually allow our lives to prosper and produce good fruit in it as we overcome these situations by applying the Word of God and not giving in to our slothful attitudes. No one's going to be able to separate us from the love of God, but our sin will. And slothfulness is a sin. If you don't understand that, He has given you a new spirit. And that spirit is vibrant, it is alive, it is powerful. I try as much as I possibly can to make you become identified with Jesus Christ. a supernatural being. You are supernatural beings contained within flesh and blood, but that's not who you are. That's just your, as Paul says, your tent. That's where you live. Who you are is who you are on the inside. And what happens in our lives, whether it's a physical ailment, whether it's loss of job or revenue or a death of a loved one, all these things Jesus has overcome for us. For us. So that nothing can separate us from His love. And if that is true, and it is, then what's stopping the church? And that's what this scripture is alluding to. We face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. It means, have you considered yourself dead to the world, but alive in Jesus Christ? Got enough for everybody? Nah, I got to talk. Just pour it out. You see, the church doesn't know who she is anymore. She doesn't understand because we've had all these winds of doctrine blowing around, and she's lost her bearing. She doesn't know what she's supposed to be and how to function and the power and mandate that comes from heaven to enable her to do these things. You see, Jesus isn't coming back for just one person, although He is, but that person is His bride, the church worldwide. And if you don't consider yourself dead to the world and committed to living your life in righteousness and holiness and purity, you are susceptible individually and the church collectively of compromising your values and being swept away. And I read a scripture this morning, because God laid it on my heart, Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2, talking about how God is preparing the church and He's telling the church to come together because there's fire that's coming upon the land. Fire always talks about refinement and burning away dross in our lives. But it's also talking about how He's going to destroy the world at the end. He's going to destroy the world by fire. And He wants us separated from the world. Remember I've said you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts? Because we live like the world instead of living separate from the world. We live by kingdom rules. And this is one reason why this pastor is rethinking his position, because he came to us through a worldly mindset, not a kingdom mindset. And I just, Dad, what do you want to do? Leaders, what's God saying to you? This is what God's saying, Pastor. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're not changing. Negotiations hasn't really started because one's operating from principles totally foreign from the principles we operate by. And so they have to, as our Garmin says, recalculate. Overcoming. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Romans 10:17-18. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. We are people of faith. But when we go running around boo-hooing this and all that other stuff, you know, because something's going wrong in our lives, what are you operating from? What's your basis? What's your foundation? What are you standing on? Are you standing on the rock of your salvation? Or are you standing on the rock that's in between your ears? God promises. We've seen it. In Jeremiah 17, He says, I have a future for you. I have plans for you to prosper you, to give you a hope. That's what He says for us. Our responsibility as individuals, as in the church, is to find out what these principles are, align ourselves up with it, so that He can begin this process of blessing us. And remember when I talked about kingdom, I said the blessings, when we start operating in kingdom, the blessings come. And the blessings keep coming. We may not see them for a while, But we're still doing what we're supposed to do. We're not allowing our eyes to be deceived by the situation. We know by faith that that blessing's coming. We also know that it will overcome us, overtake us. Why? Because the blessing isn't just for me. The blessing is for kingdom expansion. To give it away. To give it to somebody else. And we saw this yesterday in the men's. About our work. Falls right in line with kingdom theology, right? Guys? Okay. We're here. You're a new creation. The more you're in the Word, the more the Word takes possession of you. The more you build your spirit up. The more you begin to start speaking as kingdom people. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. You know, I'm sick. Why are you sick? Well, you know, I got this little cold. Okay. Well, let's go back. When did it start? Oh, it started today. No, it started before that. What do you mean? Principle sowing and reaping. Kingdom principle. You sowed this in maybe 2 weeks ago. When you start running around outside without your proper attire on, you're sweating and stuff, and you caught a chill. Then you incubate it, and now it has come forward. Well, if you had done that and had been vigilant, you would have done the right thing. You wouldn't have gone against the word of God. You wouldn't have been sick. That's why it says, if there's any among you who are sick, what are they to do? Go to the elders. Who's the elders? Well, right now, me. But call upon the elders, and they shall pray the prayer of faith, and you shall recover, and what? Any sin that you've committed shall be forgiven you. You see, we go and do things by the world when God has prescribed something for us. We're not overcoming because we're not operating the way that He has prescribed us to operate as the church. And so when we converse with one another and we say, well, you know, because I had asked Karen, I said, yeah, pray for Steve. He goes, yeah, I pray for Steve. Right on, girlfriend, go for it. You know? Because we're praying. We're interceding. We want healing to come forth. We want to see her husband get saved. We want to see this family be brought into a right relationship to Jesus Christ. Not say, I'm a Catholic. Well, you're going to go to hell as Catholic. And I can get into that theology of once saved, always saved, but I believe that you're only as saved as your relationship to Jesus Christ. You're only as married to your spouse as you are in your relationship with your spouse, right? And we know guys and gals that are married, that they're married when they come home, but all day long they're not married. They act like they're not married. That's what I'm talking about. The church should be overcoming. The church should realize they are new creations in Jesus Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Are you getting the picture? We don't operate with these things. We operate with the eyes of our spirit, and we begin to start seeing those things that God says is possible. And the funny thing is, you start speaking them. And when you start speaking them, you now begin to use the power of creation that God has given to all of us. You don't have a creative spirit. God is a creative spirit. What He has given you is a spirit of dominion. And you create, you speak these things. You begin to prophesy these things that are not as though they were. Because that's how God operates. And if we're His kids, then we need to start operating like that individually and collectively as the church. How else are we going to overcome? How many of us are living far below the standards of the kingdom? My hand's not up. I'm just putting it up. All you have to do is begin to start applying the word. Staying in the Word, applying the Word, believing by faith, not waiting for immediate results. You don't put a seed in the ground one day and tomorrow you have a tree. It takes time. You have to monitor it. You have to water it. You have to continuously be refreshed in spirit. Then when things happen, you begin to start having supernatural wisdom in order to conquer these things. God, we may say, well, you need to go to brother so-and-so, and the both of you tackle this. This is now the church getting involved. Well, you know what? I don't trust them. That's your problem. That is your problem, and you need to arrest it right now, because God has brought you into the midst of people who love you and care for you and want the best for you. And if you don't want to operate like that, then you deserve everything that you have. Our jobs is another area. God has given us authority to take over the jobs, take over the land, take over stuff. And how many of us use that authority to put people down, to, I'm the boss and you got to listen to me. That will only work for so long. And then you will have a rebellion on your hands. People will leave the job. And then what will happen is Satan will fill our minds up. Well, you know, they call themselves a Christian. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't do this. Well, maybe it's because of you. Maybe your attitude stinks. Maybe you think more highly of yourself than what you really should. Are you operating from the principle of love, of service to one another? See, the world says, put them down. Put your thumb on them. Do everything you can to get the most out of them, because after all, your bonuses are tied to this. And that feeds into our greed. Our selfishness, our self-centered, our pride, our arrogance. And we're too blind or too immature to understand really what's going on. We're being overcome by the negative influences of people, and we should repent before God, get it under the blood, and become cognizant. Put on the full armor of Jesus Christ. Not just what you feel like wearing it for the day. When are you in warfare? 24/7. The moment your feet hit the ground, you've entered into the battle. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm in a battle. Ooh, you just wait. The Word of God came today, and He says it's coming. We'll see. Well, you just don't understand. I'm under intense pressure. I think Jesus was under intense pressure. We've not suffered the things that He suffered. We're just lazy. The pressure gets to us. So now what we do is we revert to our natural self and we do everything contrary. And then we get into our little pity parties, feeling sorry for ourselves, when God has given you power and authority individually and collectively as the church to beat back this thing and overcome it. Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against you." Right? He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Are you part of the church? Well, I'm not in a fellowship. You know, I just want to be free in the spirit. That's not how it works. Let me cut your hand off and see if it's alive after a couple of weeks. Because that's essentially what you're saying in the spirit. I can be separate from the body. There's a place for everyone. God puts us in. He fits us in. He molds us. He shapes us so that we can be effective for Him, for kingdom expansion. This country is in bad shape because we have left the first love. First of all, the church has not stood up and has allowed heathens and pagans and idolaters to run our nation. We are no longer a beacon of hope to the world. We're becoming a laughing stock because we have weak people. Here, I'll just give you this. Oh, they're our friends. You know what? What they're giving you is coming out of my pocket that I can be given to my Father's kingdom. And I think stealing is wrong. Jesus said, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but give to God what's God's. Well, this is all God's. That's the way I look at it. I can't overcome by myself things that was designed for the church to come together in. You have to have a new thinking. You have to have a new mindset. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is all about. You know, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable. It's not unreasonable to sacrifice your reasonable service. And be renewed. Be renewed in the thinking of your mind so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Being transformed. Isn't that what the scripture says? We don't think kingdom because we're not in the Word. We're not thinking kingdom because we think it's some foreign thing that is only for the pastor to do. Then why did you come to salvation? Why did you join this ragtag bunch of believers? It's not about joining a club. You could do that anywhere else, and they'll take your money. They'll take your dues because you want to be part of the club. But we have some serious business here. People are going to hell in a handbasket. Lives are being destroyed even as we speak. People are dying from infirmities because the church will not arise and shine and take her rightful place that Jesus Christ died for and rose again and now holds title deed for. That's our inheritance. This is ours. And we walk around like, oh well. He's coming. I'm telling you, He's coming. And we can't even overcome our emotions. We can't even overcome our situation. We can't even overcome the TV set to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when God speaks to us, we're not paying attention. Romans 10, 8 through 11 says, What does the Word say? The Word is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the Word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Have you said Jesus is Lord? That means, in its most basic sense, He's the boss, we're slaves. He gets the right to tell us what to do. We don't conduct ourselves any other way. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Do you believe that God raised Him from the dead? Be careful. This is not just something that, yeah, I believe God raised Him from the dead. This is the basis and most difficult thing for believers. Do you believe here? Or do you believe here? If you believe here, you're in jeopardy. If you believe here, then why isn't your life lining up? Because the church is in need to line up with God. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And what we're doing is we're playing this masquerade game. I'm Jesus this moment. I'm not Jesus now. I'm Jesus this moment. I'm not. And there's such confusion. Such confusion. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess that you are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. I believe God. I don't believe my circumstances. I don't believe what you're telling me. I don't even believe what I'm telling me. But I do believe what He says. I've seen it operate time and time again. From the time I was a Christian 3 months old and laid hands on a guy whose body was so messed up and watched the Holy Spirit straighten him out to the place where I'm hoping God uses me, that He tells me to go and pray for somebody that's dead on a bed and that life comes back into him. That's what I'm believing for. You guys are just believing, next job maybe or whatever. Overcoming means to be an overcomer of every situation. He is Lord of all. Every situation. He's a Lord over cancer. He's a Lord over the devil. He's a Lord over your finances. He's a Lord over your job. He's a Lord over your families. He's a Lord over you. And we act like he's not. And this is why the church is in such dire straits. Because we have people in the pulpit that are not teaching God's people what God wants us to know. You are a supernatural people. You were raised from the dead. It took supernatural power to raise you from the dead. Do you understand that? And that power that raised Christ from the dead, Romans says, now dwells in where? You and the church. We have so much power, we haven't even begun to tap into it. We should be able to speak to infirmity and diseases and command it to dry up and die. Why? Because that's who we are. When you believe, you're justified. What is justification? What is justification? Justification in the scriptural sense means you're not guilty. If you are not guilty, why do you act like you are? You're not. He's cleansed you. He's forgiven you. He has empowered you with His very life and very substance of the kingdom of God. You can operate in this stuff. Because you have been designed from the foundation to operate like this. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You can command heaven to come here and operate through your spirit to touch people's lives. And that's what God wants to do. See, our failure is that when God promotes us, it's like we did something right. He's promoting us because we're faithful in our obedience to Him. And that is to love unconditionally. Love God unconditionally. Love our neighbor unconditionally. Isn't that what the two laws that I preach here? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And by this, they will know what? That we're His disciples. Where's the love? We justify ourselves. By our actions, by our attitudes, by the way we live. I mean, it's real hard. I said years ago to Irene, I said, it's real hard for me to know how a bride's supposed to be. I'm getting married, and I don't know the bride's side. You guys who are brides know what it's all about. You have it so easy, and I have to sit there, and I am mesmerized by my wife. I am learning so much about Jesus just by watching her. And serving her. And it's a privilege and an honor for me to serve my wife. It's an expression of my love for her, but also God's love for her. And I don't look for an attaboy. Because as a servant, that's my job. And as a servant for the bride of Jesus Christ, I must decrease so that she can increase to be ready for the feast, for the wedding. See, my job is to prepare you. And I've said to you, my greatest goal is to stand before God and say to you, you know, Jesus, here's the disciples that you gave me. And they're mature. They'll do whatever you tell them to do because they love you unconditionally. They have tremendous courage. They have withstood everything that the devil has thrown at them, and they have been overcomers because of the victory that you have done for us. This leads us to the next letter, R. Is this good? Is this rich? Is this giving you something to think about in your walk? Because if it's not, then I'll just wrap it up. R is removing the obstacles. Romans 13, 11 through 14 says, and do this, understanding the present time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, nor in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension or jealousy, but rather clothe ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father, considering him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's not fashionable to walk in holiness. It's not fashionable to stand for righteousness' sake. It's not fashionable to even speak about sin. Because you're an old fogey, Pastor. I may be. But I see the destruction that it's running amok in people's lives, in my own life. I haven't arrived. I still have issues in my own life. But I don't let them stop me from my relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't let it stop me from learning more about what He wants to do. I don't let it stop me. I don't let anybody stop me in my relationship to Jesus Christ. Ask my kids, ask my wife, they'll tell you. God is first in my life. Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He's first in my life. Then comes my wife. Then comes my children. Then comes the church. And if there's room, then I come. See, I desire great things to be used of God. Do you desire great things? Do you desire to be used by God in a way that makes a difference? The requirements are very clear right here. You have to remove those obstacles. We're in a warfare. The enemy doesn't fight right. He sucker punches us. He comes up behind us. He trips us up. He pushes us down. He makes us gravel in the mud. He does all this other stuff. What you do in response to what He does to us will determine whether you're an overcomer or not. You have been given tremendous power. You have been given the same power to create the universe that God used. Do you believe? That's the key. You have to remove things in your life that will separate you. Clean your house out of all the idols and all the things that monitor what you watch on TV, because the corruption and death that's coming from that thing will eat you alive and separate you faster than you can even imagine. Look at your relationships. Are you being influenced by ungodly relationships? And I'm calling anybody that is not a believer. And you know I call them affectionately make-believers. Because they're in the making to become a believer. It's our job to make them believers. Or are they successfully influencing your attitudes and habits and stuff to trip you up? Tells us to cast it off. Get rid of it. Put on the light. Whatever light that you have right now, walk in it. Be faithful in little things. Walk in what you understand. Don't try to be something that you're not right now. Well, Pastor, I settle down. Just like our children have to take time and grow and learn, so do you. It's no different in the spirit. First the physical, than the spiritual. When we're able to comprehend the physical realities, we can apply it to the spiritual realities because they're synonymous. They're right along each other. God wants you to be successful. You believe that? We all should say yeah.
Yeah.
He does. That's his plan for us. And not only does he want us to be successful, he's up there cheering us on. Yeah, you can do it, guys. Just knock the snot out of him. Go ahead. I'm talking about in the spirit. I'm not talking about laying on hands and, you know. But in the spirit, you can do this, guys. You can. Whatever it is that God has put in your heart, you can become that. Paul said, I became all things to all men. For what purpose? To save some. You can be whatever God wants you to be to save some. You see, our goal is to repopulate heaven with those who are still in darkness. They don't understand. You understand. The gravity of them living for themselves is that the end result is eternal damnation or eternal separation from God. God loves us so much. And he wants us to convey that message to them. Whether they hear it and receive it the first time we share it, or the seventh time, or the 15th time, whether you've been in church for 100 years, like me, or you just started today, God wants you to understand how much he loves you. And he wants you to remove even people. Hear me. This is going to be the hardest thing for the Church of Jesus Christ. To remove people from our lives that we love dearly. That will hinder us or try to hinder us from going on in God. That's going to be hard to do. And the only way we win them is loving them out of their position. Serving them. Humbly understanding that they're still in chains and in bondage to their sin. Their minds don't understand. They're not able to comprehend the truths, the deeper truths of the realities of this kingdom that we're to live in and breathe and operate from. We need to pay attention real close to the contaminants of this world. Just because it looks good does not necessarily mean it's good for us. We have to be careful. We have to be cognizant. That's what the scripture is saying about waking up. We in the church in America have a unique responsibility to turn this thing around and bring this nation under God's lordship. Because if you read Revelation, it says, now the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of His Lord and Christ. How do they become His kingdoms? By His kings and by His lords on earth, subjecting wickedness and putting them under their feet. You have been designed for a time as this to be overcomers. You have been empowered by the living God, the Christ who died on the cross and is now seated by the Father to make a difference. You are a history maker and a world changer. That's what you are. That's what the church has been designed to do. And if I'm emphatic or passionate about this, I want to see the church arise. I want to see the true church of Jesus Christ arise. I want to see some of the things that God's laid in my heart is I want to see Streams be able to provide an insurance for people who don't have insurance. I don't want you to look into the government. I want to be able to say, Father, we need to help this one. And God provides it supernaturally. I want people to begin to start really depending upon God. In a way. When I was on strike for 10 and a half weeks, God said to me, because I was saying to Irene, I said, I'm going to have to go out and get a job. And she goes, well, what's God say? See, I suffer from the same thing, too. So I asked God, and I said, what do you want me to do? He says, you don't trust me. This great man of faith don't trust you? I didn't say that. I got smart this time and said, you know what, Lord? You're right. I don't trust you. What do you want me to do? He says, because you answered correctly, in 10 days, you will be back to work. On the 10th day, I was back to work. And if I answered him wrongly, I believe I probably still would have been out on strike. It's staying in truth. It's agreeing with God. It's not standing there defending our position. That's where it says justify. It's realizing that he has my interests at heart. And if I trust him, he's going to bring me through. And as we said yesterday, the scripture says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. Never. We didn't miss a meal. We didn't miss a bill. We paid everything in there. Was it tight? Yeah. But understand, where you guys are, God has brought us through those times too. And believe me, Irene and I have never forgotten where we've come from. We thank God that he has brought us to a place in order to be an example to you guys for a hope, for a future that God wants to give to you too. But it requires work. It requires us overcoming. It requires us removing the obstacles in our lives. And that requires us to be dedicated to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Father, we just thank you for your word, God. I would love to give him more, God, but I have run over. God, your word is so rich. Your word is so good to us, God. God, you are just too deep for this mere mortal, God. But because you have given me an eternal spirit, God, I am beginning to comprehend the real reality of the Spirit. Father, I pray for your people today that they really assess where they are and what their struggles are, God, and really submit their lives to you, commit themselves to you, so that they would begin to work the Word, because the Word works when we exercise our faith. Father, I'm passionate about your kingdom. I'm passionate about your people becoming all that they can be in Jesus Christ, Lord. God, I would rather offend their minds and their hearts than offend you and not tell them the truth. God, bless your people. Bless them as they dedicate themselves to being the supernatural people that you have made them be. Help us together, God, as streams, to be overcomers, to overcome every obstacle that the enemy has thrown in front of us. Even as Dan had shared that word about you reaching out with your hands to help us, God, to lift us up, to embrace us and comfort us, God. God, help us to just receive you more, God. Father, I pray blessing upon your people today. I pray that their households be filled with peace, God. I pray that everything that the enemy has wrought for wrong, God, that you would turn it around and restore it to them and make it good for them, Father. That, God, the challenges that we have, that we would be courageous, God. As courageous as Joshua was, that you told him to be very courageous and don't allow this word to come from his heart. God, may we truly understand that we live and move and have our being in you, and that we can do nothing without you, God. That we are like sheep, counted as slaughter, because we have died to the rudiments of this world. We have died to the functions of our natural lifestyle, God. And we are learning to walk in the supernatural of your Spirit. Father. We don't need more of you. We need to let more of you out of us. I ask that you break every area, every stronghold that impedes you from coming from out of us, God. I bind that in Jesus' name. I break it in Jesus' name. And I use your word, God, to set your people free, to really realize how free they are in Jesus. As we go forward in this week, God, I pray that you would cause us to be bold as lions, as wise as serpents, but as gentle as lambs, to share the love that you have for those who are still walking in darkness. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.